Our scripture reading for this morning is from the second chapter of Acts. See it here printed on the screen. Starting at verse 42 and going through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. You know, Becky, when you we're one in the spirit is one of those songs, kind of like Lori was talking about, that have impacted my life in a way, and it always reminds me of Camp Mac, because that's where I learned that song. And camp was a great place for a kid like me, because while church was boring and held little interest for me, camp was a great source of spiritual sustenance, of something more, of a different way to bring those very spiritual things together. So thank you for that. I also met my wife there, if you don't know. So in light of today's scripture, I can't help but recall one of my favorite overused quotes, which goes something like, Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, and what he got was the church. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about the decline of the church. The Pew Research Center reveals that attendance at religious services is decreasing. And while 4 out of 10 Americans attend services regularly, 7 out of 10 adults under 30 rarely attend any religious gathering at all. Now, COVID has certainly had an impact with the numbers of U.S. adults who had typically attended services once or more dropping from once or more a month, dropping from pre-COVID 33% in 2009 to a post-COVID 20% in 2022. In fact, Pew has found that a skyrocketing number of Christians are leaving, or of Americans are leaving Christianity, becoming atheist or agnostic or nothing in particular, a category that is often referred to as nuns. And if the current trend of Americans under 30 abandoning their faith continues at the current rate that it is in its decline, Christians will be a minority within the next 20 years. Now, for people of faith, such numbers can be quite concerning. But just exactly how to remedy the problem has yet to be determined. While Christian leaders point the finger at anything and everything except themselves, of course, for this loss of religious interest and affiliation. Some say it's the outdated music, while others say it's the loss of hymnody. Some say it's the tired old worship services, while others say it's the loss of reverence among the entertainment style venues. Some say it's conservative belief systems that no longer reflect our contemporary world, while others say It's the progressive theology that's weakened the resolve of the church. Some say it's the loss of biblical authority and reverence for the Word of God, while others say it's an outdated approach to Scripture that fails to recognize the world out of which it rose. Some say it's a lack of discipline and failure to hold people accountable for their sinful ways, while others insist that the commandments in the Bible weren't salvific axioms, but guides for a community surviving in a harsh land. Some say it's because the doors have been flung wide open, allowing everyone and anyone to attend the church, while others insist that the doors have remained locked to those who don't fit neatly into some heteronormative existence. And the result is we're destroying ourselves from the inside, claiming unity all the while, becoming more and more divided, and even isolated in some instances as we pummel each other theologically to save an institution that I'm not sure was ever intended in the first place. And above all, it leaves me wondering if collectively we've lost sight of what the first followers of Jesus really believed what their purpose was. And FYI, it wasn't building a church. Luke, the author of the gospel that bears his name as well as the Acts of the Apostles, is neither historian nor journalist in the modern sense. And yet Acts remains our most comprehensive history of the spiritual and political movement that gave birth to the early faith community. Now, you would think that Jesus' followers, given all that had taken place in those later days, would have scattered, would have abandoned the mission. After all, even Jesus noted, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." But that doesn't seem to be the case. Rather, it seems even more so they have devoted themselves to what was essential to their faith. Following Peter's Pentecost sermon, we're told that 3,000 individuals were baptized into this fledgling faith community, and later, even 5,000 in one day. But as Luke recounts the events of those days, he describes the five tenets that guided these individuals' lives together. Now, first, we're told they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, remember, they didn't have this thing we call the Bible, right? So this wasn't about memory verses. It wasn't about apologetics. It wasn't even about translating the Greek for a deeper understanding of the words. No, these people were telling stories from the heart, telling stories about their own encounters with Jesus, telling stories about the words that he spoke that touched them in some way, telling stories about how Jesus challenged them to a new way of seeing their world. Second, they devoted themselves to fellowship, which isn't just gathering for the latest pitch-in, but rather working together as an authentic and vital community, nurturing habits of hospitality and inclusion. In other words, this is about an intentional community that shows up to love and support one another, not just in their faith, but in their daily lives, which is why the third thing that binds them together is the breaking of bread. Now, some would say that this breaking of bread indicates the sacramental meal, commemorating Jesus' body and blood, a spiritual nourishment, to be sure. But this is also an invitation to the fellowship meal in which everyone shares what they have so that all are fed spiritually and physically, regardless of their place on the financial scale. And fourth, they devoted themselves to the prayers, which may very well have been an early form of gathering for worship, but more than that, it was the call to commune with God and each other. But the really great thing about corporate or communal prayer, however you want to look at that, not unlike the divine office or the liturgy of ours, is that it's part of a collective mindset that binds the faithful together with one another and with God, even when they're apart. All of which, we're told, culminates in a sense of awe, given the magnitude that was taking place. While Luke writes that many signs and wonders were being done, these signs and wonders are often translated as miracles. But perhaps the most awesome thing within this early gathering is the radical economic transformation that took place. That in itself could be pointed to as a miracle. And the formation of the community in which the wealthy sell what they have and share with those who have none. Now, it's easy to think that if we could only perform a few signs and wonders, then our gatherings would increase in size too. A nice miracle once in a while, or maybe the restoration of someone's sight or the ability to walk, or maybe just turning a few loaves and fishes into a feast of dynamic proportions. And I'm not saying we need to raise anybody from the dead, just a nice healing or something to prove that God isn't just our imagination or some figment of our collective curiosity. But do we really need signs and wonders to legitimate our faith and attract those who may have spurned religion? Rodney Stark, in his exploration of the rise of Christianity, says that it wasn't the miraculous that drew the people to this movement. It was the way they cared for each other. You see, as plagues swept across the ancient Middle East, those who were sick or exhibiting symptoms were often ostracized and forced to live outside of the community, leading to further sickness and often death. However, because the early Christian community cared for its sick, many who might have otherwise died lived. And that drew the attention of those outside the community. Thus, we might say that the signs and wonders they were exhibiting weren't necessarily miraculous, but through simply caring for one another, they brought light and life to these people. So much so that those looking on wanted to be part of this dynamic community. In Luke's portrayal of the early Christian community, I believe that what he's trying to convey are the glimmers of God's kingdom that made up the early church and remain vital aspects of the church today. It's not about the miraculous. It's about the mundane. It's not about the supernatural. It's about what's really, really natural. It's not even about the church as institution. It's about the glimmers of God's kingdom that we encounter every day. Glimmers of God's kingdom when the hungry are fed. Glimmers of God's kingdom when the sick are cared for. Glimmers of God's kingdom when the least among us are loved unconditionally. And glimmers of God's kingdom when the untouchable are allowed to be embraced. So perhaps the real question at hand isn't how do we restore the church, but how do we live out that kingdom in our contemporary world, making this faith community attractive in spite of all the negativity centered around religion these days. In 6 verses, Luke tells us how faith in Jesus transformed where people lived, transformed how they understood property ownership, and transformed their sense of communal obligation in response to personal crisis. It transformed how they understood something as basic as a meal, its purpose and its implications, making the sacramental meal and the fellowship meal both spiritual events. Perhaps it's time, then, that the contemporary church made up of you and me get back to the basics, that become an example of sacramental living, of living together, of caring together, of eating together, of praying together, and all having enough together. Because there's nothing in this text about personal salvation or some afterlife where only the good people go, or who's in or who's out, or even whether we have pews or chairs for that matter. Rather, it's about unity. It's about community. It's about caring for one another and living out the call to be those glimmers of God's kingdom right where we are. I believe the church is in decline because we've lost sight of what's truly important about God's kingdom. It's not a system of rules and rewards, but about authentically living out the call of Jesus to love one another, not stained glass windows, not ornate cathedrals, and definitely not seating choices. After all, the first believers sat on the floor. It's appalling, I know.